What has happened to the Competition Commission's Grocery Retail Market Inquiry, which was first announced back in May of 2015 by Economic Development Minister Ibrahim Patel in his budget vote? And lest we forget, it was to examine the general state of competition in the grocery retail sector. And specifically, when will the market have certainty around those exclusive long-term lease agreements? Now, the question was really triggered by an article I read in the May edition of Without Prejudice Law magazine. It was written by Johan Kutzer, who's head of the real estate and competition law team in Fasken's Joburg office, which is an unusual combination, that, Johan, of real estate and competition law. Evening.
Thanks. It's good to be here, and we can get started. Thanks.
Yeah, I believe it was originally anticipated that the inquiry would wrap up its business in March of this year. Where do we stand currently?
Well, the latest is that there was an announcement that the provisional report should come out towards the end of June 2018. And then a final report towards the end of September 2018. This is where we are. They wrapped up all the oral submissions towards the end of last year, but at this stage we are just waiting and seeing.
It has taken a little while. I suppose it's often said that capacity is one of the constraints inside the competition authority's ability to conduct several market inquiries, and we know there are a few ongoing at the moment. Do you think this process is an inordinately long process if we compare this with international experience?
Not really. It's always there are so many submissions to consider and to look at, and different sectors to take into account. So it's not an easy process. Just to go back to how this process worked, it started off with written submissions by parties, and then they invited certain people to come and give oral submissions, and those were public hearings. And so it is a process. It is not as simple as that. Just to conclude, it has to be based on evidence.
Mm. And thankfully, we do have that process. All the evidence is led and heard, and we don't have the authorities acting somewhat arbitrarily here. Now, the controversial use of exclusive lease agreements between owners of large shopping malls and retail anchored tenants has often been critiqued for being anti-competitive in nature. But this is the second bite at the cherry, so to speak. We had the competition authorities, I think it was almost 10 years ago, come out and have a look at this issue. They couldn't find any anti-competitive behavior back then. Just sketch the background to this issue of long-term exclusive lease agreements.
It's maybe good to just start what is an exclusive long-term lease agreement. It's also called an anchor tenancy agreement. And it is long-term. If you start with that, long-term is usually from 10 years. And if you exercise options, it can go as long as even 40 years in certain instances. But it's usually between 10 and 20 to 25 years. And what it deals with is an exclusive use provision in the lease agreement. And that basically provides that the in a shopping mall, that there will not be another supermarket. So if there's one shop right there, will not be a Spar. And the reason, and it can go further because there's another form, it will exclude a bakery, a chemist, or a butchery, or even a liquor store in instances.
So, and financially, one can understand why the anchor tenant would want to negotiate such favorable terms, but also why sometimes the property developer would need such exclusivity in order to ensure that the anchor tenant is available for an extended period of time and to therefore take a project to bankable close.
Absolutely, that's correct. There's usually a lot of market research done when a shopping center is built, and one of the basic tests is how many people will they be visiting, or how many feet will they be in a shopping center. And to ensure that that is the case and so on, you usually need a supermarket, and this is what it's about. So, and there's a lot of capital investment required for one, the developer or the builder of the shopping mall, and then the supermarket as well, to have a fit out and to make it financially viable for both of them. So this is the dilemma in the sense that leads to anti-competitive behavior.
Now, from the submissions made at the retail inquiry over last year, what was the stance taken by the property groups towards these particular lease agreements?
It's been a long time that the property groups, that they indicated that they are not in favour of exclusive lease agreements, because this came about since 2011. Just to go back there, in 2011, the first time that the Commission looked at supermarkets, there were concerns raised about exclusive lease agreements, and that led to a lot of uncertainty in certain instances. What do you do with a lease agreement if you are a landlord, where there's an insistence on including such a provision? And at that stage, the property groups were in the dark, and through SAPOA at that stage, they decided to approach the Commission again. That was during 2015, and actually lodged a complaint against certain supermarket groups. And this complaint, the request was merely to investigate, give guidance, refer to the tribunal to get some precedent on this.
Absolutely, and to provide some clarity, because from the bank's perspective here, you know, we're talking there about the property groups, the landlords. Obviously, I think it's fair to say from certain retailers' perspectives, they would like to see the status quo remain. The banks seem somewhere in the middle here. Obviously, they need the certainty that comes with having that that guaranteed foot traffic. But is it clear from what the submissions have painted out that having competing retailers, anchor retailers, a ShopRite and a Pick and Pay, would have a negative impact on a particular retail development? I mean, one would surely think that I, as a shopper, if I go up to a mall, if it's got both a Pick and Pay and a ShopRite, I'm more likely to actually visit the one where I have greater choice.
Absolutely. So it's again about balance. But to get back to it, you know, what we can say at this stage is what's available, publicly available, because the submissions, the oral submissions, a lot of the evidence was led in on a confidential basis. So we are not, we cannot really comment on that and so on. We'll see eventually what happens in the report. But again, to get back to what it is about, is this, I think there should be a balance. You know, so it cannot be, it shouldn't be prohibited as such. Like in places like Botswana, there was an outright prohibition. But the guidelines, for example, in the EU and Australia, would be to limit this to, say, a five-year period, or in certain instances to a time period where the parties can prove that they can make this work and it is financially viable.
So a more middle-of-the-road approach, I guess, to say being mindful of the concerns both of the property developers on the one hand and the retailers on the other, to provide guidelines and therefore some clarity as well. We've got international best practice to guide us here as well. Considering that the Commission came up blank in the last inquiry, does it look to you like the guideline approach is it's very difficult to say whether or not it will or won't be adopted, but perhaps is a leading contender as in far as an outcome is concerned?
I would think so, because I would think that is a right approach. What is needed is, like we started off, is that some clarity is needed, and it cannot carry on like it is at this stage, because there is no certainty. Just to get back to, by way of example, at a stage when there were mergers, and as soon as you dealt with a merger, where there's a shopping centre involved, the first question usually from the Commission was, are there any exclusive lease provisions in the lease agreements? And we supplied that to them. And in what's happened then, the conditions were imposed when the merger was approved. And one of the conditions was, try and negotiate out of that. And how do you do that? It's like a provision that cannot be enforced.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, if it isn't breaking the law, it's going to be very difficult to get contracting parties to negotiate favorably out of an agreement that currently suits them very well. Your concluding thoughts on what impact this is likely to have on the development of new shopping malls, for example, considering we're in an environment where the retail property space is under a lot of pressure anyway.
What was quite interesting to me was the one remark or a comment made by one of the retailers that some of the developments are large shopping centres, and in most instances they can actually beer to supermarkets, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there are many examples of that. So I think it's not going to be really going to be an issue in future. Again, like I said, I think as long as there's a balance between all the relevant parties.
As a good economist would say, on the one hand and on the other. Johan Kutsier, partner at Fasken, with the long and winding road of exclusive lease agreements in this week's legal feature here on Classic Business, only on Classic 102.7.